food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
This is a COVID 1984 announcement. But first, a message from our dear leader.
To be really clear, we are not making vaccination compulsory. It is not compulsory to be vaccinated. But of course, we want everyone to be safe. We want you to be safe. And we want your loved ones to be safe and well. And so we're absolutely encouraging as many New Zealanders as possible to be vaccinated.
The important people at Parliament are hard at work creating new laws and orders that will ensure that no MP, minister, highly placed government official, or think tank advisor who suck off the taxpayers' teat will be forced to take the jab. But for you stinking masses who work in any of these honourable professions and trades, it's no jab, no job for you. And soon, you'll need your vaccine passport to eat, drink, buy or sell. This kind government will never force you to take the jab, so you are always free to choose to be a serf or a slave. Be brave. Do not comply.
18th of October 2021. Welcome to Counterspin. Great to have you with us. Joining me in the studio is Shane Chafing. He's our chief medical correspondent. And if you missed the last episode, I'll turn it over to Shane to give you his qualifications so you know exactly what we're bringing you today and from someone who's actually qualified to speak, unlike Bloomfield. Shane.
My name is Shane Chafing. I am a board certified ambulatory care pharmacist. The board certification out of Washington, D.C. I've been a pharmacist for roughly 20 years. I have participated in work at the DHB, PHO level, as well as general practice. I had a specialty in the United States in HIV/AIDS.
Now, just recently, they held submissions for the Health Select Committee on the 14th of October 2021. Various people gave their submissions, like Sue Gray. Now, Sue Gray definitely took them to task. They tried to shut her down, you could see, tried to steer her certain ways, but she nailed them, didn't she? She absolutely nailed them.
Well, she did, and Tracy McClellan, I don't know where the MP she's out of on the Health Select Committee, tried to go after and say that Sue Gray's not enough of an expert to speak on clinical matters. Well, Tracy McClellan, I am an expert on these clinical matters. And what she was saying was, and you should, apparently, I don't know if it was you or someone else shrugged their shoulders when she mentioned ivermectin. But speaking of ivermectin, let's hear what Ashley Bloomfield had to say about ivermectin at different points.
Earlier this week, podcaster and UFC commentator Joe Rogan revealed he'd caught COVID and that he was using the horse medicine ivermectin to treat it. Well, Kiwis are using the same anti-parasitic drug to ward off the virus, and MedSafe is tonight warning them not to, while doctors say there's no evidence it works. Here's Mitch McCann.
It's a medicine meant for horses, but its popularity among humans is growing. The drug ivermectin is being touted as a treatment to ward off COVID-19.
I get daily representations from people about ivermectin and why we're not making it available here.
West Auckland retailer Horseland says it too has been taking lots of calls about it. Piggy Rikers thought it was strange.
She made a comment that it was how much would I dispense for 80 kilos. And I made a comment that that seemed like a very small pony, which she ignored.
There is no clear evidence ivermectin works in stopping COVID or helping people recover. Scientists say there isn't enough proof to show it works in humans. Studies so far have been small or of low quality.
This is the veterinary form.
Ivermectin has a human version too, used to treat skin conditions. The animal version is different. Ivermectin is usually mixed in with other substances to create the final product, which often then trades under a different brand name.
I've reached the stage where I don't give a damn what people think.
Dave Witherow uses ivermectin, both the human and animal versions, in low doses. Witherow says he has read articles where doctors overseas advocate for its use.
I'm aware of quite a few people, friends and acquaintances in New Zealand, that are taking the veterinary form.
Many won't agree with him, but he's far from alone. Across Facebook and Reddit, unproven claims of benefits to humans have spread like wildfire. It's similar to hydroxychloroquine in that it's another unproven treatment for COVID-19 being promoted online.
NewsHub has also spoken to one store that sells horse-related products who told us that sales for ivermectin-based treatments have increased significantly compared to this time last year.
Our health officials are warning against anyone using any dose that hasn't been medically prescribed. MedSafe says it can cause low blood pressure, worsening asthma and autoimmune disorders.
There are no studies to show that it's of any benefit in people infected with COVID-19. And indeed, of course, if it's not used under supervision and appropriately, it could be harmful.
It's a message Australian doctors are pushing too. On Wednesday night, a patient was admitted to hospital in Sydney after using ivermectin.
Our doctors in Australia are across the literature in terms of what drugs and therapies are useful in COVID, so please listen to them.
The warning about ivermectin in the age of misinformation coming loud and clear from across the Tasman. Mitch McCann, News Hub.
Well, that was very interesting, wasn't it?
So, apparently, Sue Gray's not allowed to speak on ivermectin, but Ashley Bloomfield says some things. Well, let's look into that. So, Ashley Bloomfield, whenever I send something to the Health Director General's office, an official information act request, a lot of what comes back out of there is, well, we look overseas. Well, I'd like to invite you to now look overseas, go to the National Institutes of Health website, and type in ivermectin and COVID-19, and look at all the studies that come up. Even though you said there aren't studies out there, there's not information, but there is, there's a lot. And at the other point, you said that, well, there's no safety data and efficacy. Well, that's not true either. And Sue Gray also brought up, Ms. McClellan, that Uttar Pradesh in India, which has over 200 million people in that province, prophylactically distributed ivermectin when they were having a Delta outbreak, and boom, it went away for the most part. Now, the fact checkers out there came and said, well, it didn't actually go away, did it? And so, if you look at what fact checkers say, actually, they confirm the other side. They confirm what Sue Gray knows. And what they said was, well, in 34 of the 60 counties in Uttar Pradesh, COVID was declared eradicated, zero. And in the other counties, they weren't finding through weeks that they had any COVID cases. So even though they didn't declare it, which is what the fact checkers went after, hey, that's on boots on the ground, that's what it was. Uttar Pradesh, before you go saying it, was 5.6% vaccinated at that point. So almost not vaccinated at all. So you roll your eyes, or somebody shrugs their shoulders during this health select committee where she's giving an oral submission, but you don't know what you're talking about. You guys aren't qualified to speak on it, but we are. So that's what we know about ivermectin in Uttar Pradesh. That's what we know about Ashley Bloomfield, who goes on and absolutely lies to the New Zealand public and said there's no information out there about ivermectin in COVID-19 patients. And then it seems like he had to back up because, oh, somebody must have called him out. Or he actually did something and looked himself. Well, that's great. And then he found and said, oh, well, there's not safety data. Well, there is safety data. There are clinical trials, or excuse me, observational studies. There were double-blind or randomized control trials that were done, and what they found was it worked. It worked up to 80%, it worked up to 90%. So those studies are out there, and I believe last I counted there was around 60. So there's a plenty of studies. And somebody said, well, there's only 3,000 people if you look at the meta-analysis that was done of all those studies. But the issue there is, how many were in the Pfizer, the jab study? How many? Is it 4,000? Because that's what Janet Woodcock, who is the FDA lead on that, the head of the FDA, when she gave her talk when they approved Comirnaty, she said that there were 4,000 patients that were followed and their safety data looked good, even though it was only done over a couple of months. So who really knows? So that's BS. But what we do know is there are no long-term studies done. So if you want a clinical expert, then I also submitted for to put an oral submission in to the Health Select Committee. I haven't been contacted, but man, would I love to speak to this. So yeah, just give me a call or an email back, because I did put a submission in. So that would be great, and I can speak to it directly. However, there's other issues too. What about a mask mandate? What did Ashley Bloomfield say in 2020 about wearing masks?
Some of you may have heard the interview that Kim Hill did with virologist Chris Smith from Cambridge University. He was very clear on this.
Are face masks effective, and would you, do you, wear one on a plane?
No, save your money. Those face masks are absolute rubbish and they do absolutely nothing.
You can use a face mask if you like, but it is not really any protection.
So the ones that people are buying at the supermarket are what are called surgical masks. They're the rectangular ones, and you'll see that they've got gaps in the back here, so yes, they're not fully protecting you.
It basically likes to land on a mucous membranes and then from your eyes go down into your nose anyway. So I think people should not bother with face masks.
Mask alone can give you a false feeling of protection and can even be a source of infection when not used correctly.
And of course, masks convey that hysteria on the street. If you're not wearing one, you're made to think like you're a leper. You know, children can't see anyone's expressions and smiles. The knock-on consequences of masks go way beyond the inconvenience of it all.
The World Health Organization does hold together expert committees, and it concluded in June last year that masks were useful.
Newsnight understands that the World Health Organization committee that reviewed the evidence for the use of face coverings in public didn't back them. But after political lobbying, the WHO now recommends them.
Fauci's clearly now being outed in his emails. He knows you can't stop the breathing in of the virus. If it's in the air, it's going to come right through the mask because it's such a smaller micron than your average store mask.
In fact, it's been studied to death in previous influenza epidemics. For decades, masks don't work. Knock, knock. Anyone listening?
If you ask me, what's the mechanism whereby masks don't work? Well, the infectious aerosol particles are part of the fluid air, extremely small, and they will go around the mask just like the air does when you're breathing in or out.
There's a member of parliament that's really made some waves with an opinion piece. His name's Graham Brady, and he says, I believe the real purpose of masks is social control. It's time to turn down the fear dial. Now in here, he says, many politicians and advisors will admit privately that the policy change compelling people to wear masks was not really about the spread of infection at all, but about the psychological effect that they would have.
But we know masks protect you.
And I think that is actually one of the reasons for having mask use, because it is a very visible reminder that this threat hasn't gone away.
I think people should not bother with face masks.
Can't see behind your mask.
I'm just getting a bit of practice in case I need one.
This is a homemade mask, which there are various patterns for on the internet or elsewhere. I didn't make this myself.
It was, Dr. Bloomfield?
Who did make this? It was the mother of one of my son's friends, so kindly made that for me. I've also had a lovely one sent by a member of the public, which has got the TARDIS on it, which is nice. So, yes, homemade masks. These can be washed and reused, and face covering can be a scarf or a bandana in the meantime. The important thing is how you use it, of course, and being careful with hand hygiene.
I didn't bring mine down as Dr. Bloomfield did, so unfortunately I can't show you. I don't.
Can you demonstrate?
This is always a little dangerous to do, of course,
I think
in front
that's
of a live TV
asked,
audience.
Dr.
That's
Bloomfield.
Exactly right. So the important thing here is to, of course, hold the elastic at the ends and keep the hands away from the mouth and face. It goes here over the ears, in my case, not too difficult to do. The one problem I do have is my glasses do fog up a bit, you will notice, and I'll take that off. Apparently, you can use sellotape across the top just to help.
But there you go. Yeah, so at one point, it seems to be, as I recall, in 2020, you can wear a mask. If it makes you more comfortable, it's not going to do anything. But hey, here comes Jacinda Ardern with the totalitarianism and the medical tyranny, and she's not an expert either. And so you say you're listening to people who are overseas, so you're actually not current in New Zealand, and she's no health expert, and she's made everyone wear a mask, down to people in school now. How disgusting are you? Like, you're gross. And the reason that is gross, and the reason we know that it's gross, is because you're overrepresenting something, aren't you? You're overrepresenting an infection fatality rate. Do you know what an infection fatality rate is, Jacinda? Have you heard these before? I know you're no expert because Tracy McClellan says that only experts should speak on this. Well, I'll tell you one because I am an expert. I'll tell you what they are. Infection fatality rate is how many people who are infected with COVID actually die from it. Meaning we've done something that hasn't been done here, except they've picked lab blood samples, but they haven't actually gone out to the population and picked them at random like we do population antibody studies, like they did in the U.S., like many studies were done in the U.S., and what they found there is it was 0.13 to 0.5% deadly. 0.13 to 0.5%. So what right do you have
to go and tell school children that, number one, they have to wear a mask, and number two, they have to get jabbed. This is not a pandemic in the sense of pandemics in the past, and you are taking the good trusting Kiwi sensibility, and you are abusing it. You're like a terrible Munchausen's by Prime Sinister. That's what you are. You're abusing the people of this good country, and you're spreading fear. You are actually the disease, not COVID. COVID kills almost nobody. And if we go back and say, oh, well, Michael Baker of Otago University says it's 1%. Well, I talked to him directly, and in a meta-analysis, he agreed that it was probably 0.7 in some things. So 0.7, so I went and had a look at those. And wouldn't you know, when they put a lot of those studies together, it's because they include something called excess deaths. Well, they're just grabbing deaths out of anywhere and putting there. For all we know, it could have been suicide because people like you lock people down. How disgusting. It could have also been that they were killing them with high-pressure ventilation. That's also a thing. So we don't know. So we just dump those deaths in, and then we say they died from COVID. But those aren't real. So when you take those out, it actually goes down to about 0.25. So 0.25. So what, do you get a 99.75% chance of surviving something? That's not a pandemic. And how dare you take this country and do this to them? They are too good for you to treat them this way, and they deserve better. And Bloomfield, turn in your damn registration. Turn in your medical license. Don't go after people who aren't vaccinated. Turn yours in for doing this to a country. And the other part of this too is, you know, people are dying. You know the VAERS recording system in the United States and how there's over 8,000 deaths just reported in one part of that. 8,000 deaths reported in that. And that's 1% of what is actually going on per 2009 Harvard study. You know that too. But let's skip that because that's a whole lot of deaths you're not speaking of. Let's skip to the one and go in here with CARM, Center for Adverse Reaction Monitoring, that catches about 5%. But so you've admitted to one. Sue Gray testified that there's hundreds. I'm getting people telling me as a reporter that there are many people who are dying, many people who are in hospital. COVID comas are happening in young people, the young people you want to put on this. So this 5% that's reported, well, you got one death, so was that 20? How many deaths do you have? You know that, but you're going out and telling people that this vaccine is, quote, safe and effective. You are a liar, and you know you're a liar. How dare you say that from one podium you're going to tell everybody the truth? Ashley Bloomfield knows the VAERS data. Ashley Bloomfield knows what I just said about CARM. Where are you guys? Where are you telling the New Zealand public what I just said? How come I can know it as a clinician and you guys who are supposedly doing like a great job running this country through COVID? Well, you're not running it through COVID. You're running it into the ground. You're destroying people's lives. You're destroying families. You're destroying people's school holidays. You're destroying people's school experience. You're alienating people, and you're going to destroy this country because it's all about you, isn't it, Jackie? It's all about you, Cindy, and not anybody else, because you just want to be the person that saves and mothers everybody. Well, you're an abusive mother is what you are. As a matter of fact, you know one person has already died, and yet you're advocating other people get it. You know people have been suffering from myocarditis. That's been reported. You know that people have died from that, and yet you're going out there saying it's, quote, safe and effective with no qualifiers. How safe and how effective? You're not doing that. You're not a clinician. Tracy McClellan says you shouldn't be speaking on it, and I agree with her. Ashley Bloomfield, why don't you come out and talk about it? Because if this is happening, both you are murderers. How are you not a murderer if you know something kills people and you do nothing but promote whatever it is? How? How is it that you're not a murderer? Tell me, I want to know, because you have blood on your hands. This good country deserves way better. And the supposed that parliament is sovereign, well, guess what? You've made so many people angry that now you're going to figure out that the people here are assumed sovereign, not parliament anymore. Because when you announced the other day that healthcare providers and teachers had to mandatorily get the vaccine, what you did was you made other people angry as well. The vaccinated have been speaking out now against mandatory vaccines. They see that you are coming after their freedom and their what they thought were rights. New Zealand Bill of Rights Act. Well, hello, legal people out there. Hello, courts. Hello, police officers. Hello, Parliament. If it's a rights act, New Zealand Bill of Rights Act, then they can't be taken away because it's a right. But no, you declared an emergency, and supposedly your declaration of emergency, which is false, which doesn't exist because COVID kills almost nobody. And you know it. You have the data just like I found the data, just like every other person out there. Even Michael Baker out of Otago University says in News Hub that it's 1% that it kills. That's 99% survival rate. This isn't time to shut a country down. This is time to get on with it, just like Sweden got on with it. Yeah, oh, but let's talk about Israel, because it's safe and effective, isn't it? Well, we've talked about some safety issues with the vaccine. Now let's talk about some efficacy issues, because you're still out there saying it's safe and effective. Well, it's not effective, is it? Because Israel, what are they down to? 39% efficacy, according to their health ministry? 39% efficacy. But yet you're here in New Zealand telling people they're going to get, quote, more of their freedoms back. More of their freedoms, as if you're the arbiter of people's freedoms. Who do you think you are?
Sorry.
That's dictator talk. That's up there with Stalin and Mao and Hitler. And I don't know how you're any different than those. I don't see it. And I don't think you see it either. So efficacy, 39% in Israel. And when we look at their data, and we look at up-to-date data, not some study published before, when we look at it, it looks like about half of the people are vaccinated who have the Delta and half of them aren't. Well, that's a 50-50. That means if you didn't take it, you have just as much chance of getting it as if you did. Well, there you go. But so your new talking point is sort of blown out. But let's just stop. Let's not go on, move on to just yet. Because we can go to England, where they said that their effective rate is dropping for COVID too. The coverage is plunging. They're experiencing the same issue, aren't they? And you know this because you were in England. You have ties there. Tony Blair, ring a bell? You have ties. So you know this is happening. And if you don't know, well, why isn't Ashley Bloomfield, who reaches out around the world and all the OIA responses I get, and say we look at ministries from around the world and look at governments. Well, he's tied to CDC, NIH, and help Public Health England. We look to England. Well, England would tell you, if you looked at that data, and so should Ashley Bloomfield, that efficacy is dropping, but you knew that was coming. If you didn't, you should have. And Ashley Bloomfield, certainly. And Chris Hipkins, I don't even know what you're doing around. Tracy McClellan says you're not even qualified to speak on COVID matters, and I agree with her. So what are you doing here? Please step away from the mic. What we're saying here is this, is that vaccine which you promote, which is going to fail, which is failing in other parts of the world who were vaccinated early on, it was designed to fail. Oh, what a big, huge statement. Oh, how can I say that? I can say that because I have the qualifications to say that. And then when I looked at what they did with the mRNA part of this, they produced one protein out of an entire virus, one piece of it. As soon as there is a, quote, variant of that piece, it loses efficacy. And you should have known. And you're still out there promoting it. Promoting it to Maoris. How racist are you? You stand around and your party calls everybody else in New Zealand racist. You're out there handing out fried chicken to Maoris to get them vaccinated. How disgusting are you? Shot, bruh. Like you're even reaching in and using their culture against them. You're culturally appropriating for a vaccine that you know is going to lose efficacy really fast and you know was designed very narrow spectrum, as we say in our industry, which means as soon as something changes, it fails. And that's what we're seeing now. And you're promoting it for the Delta variant, which is absurd because the Delta variant in other parts of the world, that's where we're seeing 39% efficacy with the Delta variant. That's where we're seeing 60% efficacy or roughly in the UK with the Delta variant. But it's a Delta variant here because you guys have said that. You said ESR, who did the genomics, and that's what it is. And yet you're promoting the exact same vaccine. Well, New Zealanders aren't all that different from people in other parts of the world, especially multicultural countries like England and the United States. Well, surely we'd be seeing this. So you know what you're doing. You know this vaccine was designed to fail. And don't take my word for it. Let's go ahead and listen to the drug manufacturers themselves from Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's footage.
Yes, let's have a look.
Inside portion of the actual virus, so your antibodies are probably better at that point than the vaccination.
Nick Carl is an experienced biochemist at Pfizer with a history of working in the pharmaceutical industry. Nick admits to our undercover journalist that those who've had COVID have stronger immunity than those who've received the Pfizer COVID vaccine.
When somebody is naturally immune, like they got COVID, they probably have better, like not better, but more antibodies against the virus. Because what the vaccine is like I said, that protein that's just on the outside. So it's just one antibody against one specific part of the virus. when you actually get the virus, you're going to start producing antibodies against like multiple pieces of virus. And not only just like the outside portion, like the inside portion and the actual virus. So your antibodies are probably better at that point than the vaccination.
But don't take his word for it. Two other Pfizer scientists echo the same sentiment.
So I mean, well protected?
Yeah.
Like as much as the vaccine?
Probably more.
How so? Like how much more?
You're protected most likely for longer, since it was a natural response.
We're like bred and taught to be like vaccine is safer than actually getting COVID. You cannot like talk about this in public. If you have antibodies built up, like you should be able to prove that you have those built up.
I mean, I still feel like I work for like an evil corporation. They're trying to keep track of everyone that's been vaccinated versus the census of how many people are actually reported. Basically, our organization is run on COVID money now. You don't talk about anything that can possibly implicate you or like big pharma. Like even if you shut the door to the office, it's kind of like, who's listening?
I specifically have like, oh God, I signed the NDAs against this.
The government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
There needs to be a registry of the people who aren't vaccinated. That's sounding very dirty. I'm gonna go door to door and stab everyone. Oh, it's just your booster shot.
Don't get the Johnson.
I didn't tell you how.
She didn't want to take it because of her religious beliefs. She was coerced into taking
it. They are not reporting because they want to shove it under the mat.
Oh God, I signed the NDAs against this. So your antibodies are probably better at that point than the vaccination.
You're not wearing a wire, right?
Our next installment in the series exposing Big Pharma will feature multiple releases inside one of the nation's largest COVID vaccine manufacturers, Pfizer. The series features not one, not two, but three scientists within Pfizer talking to one of our undercover journalists, making stunning admissions about the COVID vaccine and the culture inside of Pfizer.
Like, we're like bred and taught to be like vaccine is safer than actually getting COVID. And that's like honestly, we have to do so many seminars on this. Like, you have no idea. Like, we have to like sit there for hours and hours and listen to like, be like, you cannot like talk about this in public. You know, logically though, like if you have antibodies built up, like you should be able to prove that you have those built up. Like, and just be like, I don't know, maybe, but potentially that's doesn't seem that crazy.
I had COVID and I have monster immunity after 8 months. So I just got checked last month for antibodies.
I mean, that's no worries. Same thing with my brother.
So should I get the vaccine?
Wait.
Till when?
If your immunity starts to wane, then get vaccinated.
So I mean, well protected?
Yeah.
Like as much as the vaccine?
Probably more.
How so? Like how much more?
I mean, so when we came out with So right now we're seeing an increase in the Delta variant, mostly not because of the variant, because of their antibodies are waning. So they're still protected, but not at that 95% efficacy. It's more like 70%. So you're protected most likely for longer, since it was a natural response.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they're trying to keep track of everyone that's been vaccinated versus the census of how many people are actually reported. So I mean, they're trying to get their numbers, but still, you shouldn't have to show anything, which is basically, in my opinion, a violation of HIPAA. No one has the right to ask you if you've been vaccinated, or so. It's an invasion of privacy. I don't agree with it. So.
Nick's take on these social mandates would seem to run contrary to his sentiment on antibody immunity. This isn't the first time we've heard this sentiment from a scientist with one of these companies.
How do we get the unvaccinated vaccinated?
I feel like what they're doing, like, for instance, like the city needs like vax cards and everything. It's just like about making it so inconvenient for like unvaccinated people to the point where they're just like, F it, okay. You know?
What do you mean?
Like, if you are restricting people that are unvaccinated from doing anything, and then like vaccinated people are allowed to do anything they want, eventually they're just going to be like, let me just get vaccinated.
I mean, you have multiple companies that were basically given a crap ton of money to produce vaccines, and they're pushing them.
So what happens to the monoclonal antibody treatments?
Push to the side.
Why?
Money. It's disgusting. You're not wearing a wire, right?
No. You want to check?
I mean, I still feel like I work for like an evil corporation because it comes down to profits in the end. And I mean, I'm there to help people, not to make millions and millions of dollars. So I mean, that's the moral dilemma.
Billions and billions.
I'm trying to be nice.
No, yes. I hear you. I mean, I'll still give you a hard time about it.
Basically, our organization is run on COVID money now.
How so?
Like, it netted like over $15 billion last year.
Chris Croce is a senior associate scientist with Pfizer. He goes on to explain a test that is currently taking place at Pfizer, not to determine the effectiveness, but to see if it is leading to heart attacks.
I'm glad you didn't get any myocarditis.
Yeah.
That's a concern, right?
Yeah. More so for younger people.
Why?
That's what we're looking into right now.
Oh, cool.
We just sent like 3,000 patient samples to get tested for like elevated troponin levels.
Yeah.
To see if it's vaccine based or so.
What's it look like?
I don't know. We just sent that over this past week, and the last batch will be sent over next week. All external testing. We'll see. Hopefully it's good.
Well, if not, then
in my opinion, that might pull something from the market.
If the scientists believe that the antibody works more effectively than the vaccines, it begs the question, what's with all the federal mandates, regardless of what the data says?
There's ears and eyes everywhere.
What do you mean?
At Pfizer, like, in the building.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of just like, you don't talk about anything that can possibly implicate you or like big pharma. Like, even if you shut the door to the office, it's kind of like, who's listening?
These expressed views run contrary to the current public policy affecting millions of people. If you're on the inside of the pharmaceutical company, contact us at veritastips@protonmail.com and stay tuned.
We have a hidden camera footage of executives at Pfizer.
It's an argument. Code yellow.
Code yellow. I don't know what that means.
Code yellow.
See, some interesting stuff coming to the public eye now. A lot of us from day one have said it's a scamdemic. Because it's not a pandemic as such. It doesn't even qualify to tie a pandemic shoes. Now, the Health Select Committee, of course, in a nutshell, it's the government seeking the excuse to extend emergency powers they crave in order to be heralded as future placements within the New World Order. Well, you know, rebranded as the Great Reset. We know how it works. It's like, yes, 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 thank you. And then submissions all heard and done. Public illusion of meaningful consultation complete. They've all had their say, the inconvenient little plebs. Now we'll just do what we want. We have an agenda. We're under instruction and to hell with the people. That's pretty much how it works here in New Zealand, time and time again.
So just looking at that video, what we see there is that vaccine isn't going to work long-term at all, and they know it. And so you're going to have to take a jab behind that, another jab. And
the boosters,
The boosters, and they're going to consider you unvaccinated after your two double jabs, everybody who went out there and dutifully took both those jabs, so you can go do X, Y, and Z. But you're not going to be able to do all those things because they're going to come back by just like they did in Israel and say, nope, if you don't get a booster after booster after booster, then you don't get your, quote, rights back. Your freedom's back.
Because Pfizer's got you by the balls and you know it. Well, why aren't the other vaccines here? Why Pfizer? What deal have you done for Pfizer? Look at what happened in the in Australia. People basically getting wiped out under corruption allegations. Now, there is a lot more behind that than meets the public eye. And that's been pointed out.
So just going back to that video, what that guy said, that researcher for, I don't remember which company it was. What he said was, I think it was Johnson & Johnson. He stated that natural immunity is better. Oh, but have we heard anything about that from Ashley Bloomfield? Have we heard anything about that? Cool. Natural immunity, according to this researcher, is better because it picks up different pieces around the virus and makes antibodies to them. Of course natural immunity is going to be better. And that they're putting that out in newspapers here and saying, oh, these are really good spun ads to say, don't worry if you get COVID after you get the injection because it'll increase your immunity. No kidding! No kidding, having an entire virus that your body can make antibodies to protects you better than if you had one tiny protein off of them. So this is just spin. What they should have said was the vaccine is so poorly designed that of course that's going to increase your immunity. So why didn't they take, why an mRNA vaccine? Why did they pick such a narrow therapeutic range or limitation on this vaccine? Why didn't they take the virus and break it up like they always do and give that? Why didn't they do that? Well, I'm looking for that. Where's that one at? And it's not in New Zealand. And is there any problem with that? Because Byron Bridle out of the University of Ontario, professor, says that there is some problem, but there's spike proteins because spike proteins, he's saying, are the toxins. That's what damages things. That's what goes to the heart and gives people myocarditis and myocardial infarction because of this. So why would we put spike proteins in people? So if Byron Bridle is wrong, well, his research surely does look like he's right. So why are we putting that toxin into somebody? We know that that's the piece of it that helps it bind to the ACE2, the ACE inhibitor in the lungs. And that's how it helps give it the, quote, gain of function. The gain of function. So how do we talk about the gain of function? Hey, there's a good segue into a guy named Peter Daszak. Hey, Ashley Bloomfield. Hey, Jacinda Ardern. I can't hear you talking about EcoHealth Alliance and how they applied to DARPA and the CDC for funding and were turned down for funding. They wanted to release spike proteins in bat caves in Hunan Province, China. And of all organizations, DARPA said it was too dangerous. They turned them down. So there's the spike protein. Why is the spike protein dangerous? Could have been what I just talked about. Why did DARPA see it as dangerous? Could have been what I just talked about. But not only do they want to do that, but Peter Daszak from EcoHealth Alliance, he also wanted to do studies at, ready, drum roll, Wuhan Institute of Virology on bat coronaviruses. And he applied for funding. So he's now connected to that, very connected to it. And who did the World Health Organization send to go investigate the origins of the COVID virus? Oh, that's right, Peter Daszak.
Who spent more time in a hotel with prostitutes than he did on the job.
He is sent there to investigate himself. And wouldn't you know, he thinks it came out of a wet market right next to the BSL-4, which seems completely plausible, right? No. So there's a whole lot of evidence, and people from the old administration, the Secretary of State, the Director of National Intelligence, who have come out and said, in their opinion, that it came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Peter Daszak's submission for funding shows that it probably did come from there. So the world's looking at you, Jacinda, because what are you doing with China? My recollection is that you didn't send anybody to help investigate this claim because they're too close to you, because you want to go to schools and stick things in children like you're some sort of prime sinister pedophile. That's what you want to do into children who have almost a 0% chance of any serious reaction or dying from COVID. 0% chance, except for the myocarditis that you are going to give them. Except for the myocarditis cases that have already been happening and have already been reported. You are going to injure those children without cause. How is it that you can sleep at night? How disgusting of a person who wants to go and molest children medically in this way.
And how the hell are these people not charged? I've been calling for them to be charged with reckless disregard for human life, because that's and manslaughter, if anything, murder.
Yeah, and Ashley Bloomfield, how are you not engaged in medical misadventure? How?
Instead, you've got the medical board trying to haul up doctors who actually have the truth and they're actually telling you this. And you're trying to silence them and squish them like bugs beneath your feet.
I challenge you to put out the percent and do it in percent. What percent of children have died? Or, no, let's do the percent of survival, because it's about 99.995, isn't it? 10 years of age and under. No one should get a vaccine unless you're high risk anyway. So 30 and under, no one should get a vaccine unless they're high risk. And then it's a choice after that. Not a dictate from a bunch of Nazis standing in Wellington Beehive. Not a dictate from you people. But the good news is I've talked to a lot of people in my position. And what they're saying is at the police departments, what they're saying is from the person flipping the burgers, from the small businesses, from the guard at big businesses, is you've lost them. Because of who you are and what you're doing. You've lost them now. It's almost over. All it takes now is for us to keep going. Because you're losing the small business people. You're losing the police. I'm going to quote you what this person said to me when I said COVID kills almost nobody. And it was a higher up person in a police department. They said this to me. You're preaching to the converted. That's where your police are. You think you got this under control? I highly doubt it. Because they're awaking. They're awakening. It's happening in New Zealand now. You're going to find out that the people of New Zealand are coming back. They are the new Anzacs. They are the people who are going to write history like we had to do in the 1940s. Because what you've done is you've combined big business, being big pharma, also with government. And Mussolini said that that was corporatism, rightly known as fascism.
And to all those who believe that Shane was a little bit withdrawn in the last interview, well, as you can see, he's not so withdrawn now. Jacinda, you lot have had us on the ropes. You've had us in the corner. Imagine this a boxing match, okay? You had us on the ropes. You've been giving us body blows. You've been throwing in the jabs with your propaganda and your misinformation and your lies. And no matter who you pay to try to come after us and suppress us and call us fake news, you're the fake news, you're the fake one, and now... On Counterspin, Shane's just started the counterpunch.
One last thing as we go out. I would just like to say this.
Yeah, I was just going to say, first of all, how can people follow you if they want to get in touch with you? Because believe me, after this, I think a lot of people want to get hold of you. How can they get hold of you? And then I'll ask for parting words before we go out and wrap up.
You can reach out through Counterspin. That's probably the best way. But I would like to give a few parting words, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Cindy.
Same one. Yes. So now we know everything. The truth is out there. All we have to do, people, is connect each other. They are the minority, as I've said from the start. We are the majority. And together, we can push these pricks right out of Parliament. Because they deserve to go. Half of these people should be up on charges for what they're doing. There is absolutely no excuse. And when they start coming for your kids... If you do not get off your ass and actually push back, stand the line, and with extreme prejudice ensure your children are safe, then there's something seriously wrong with you. Now, this audience, we need you to get out there. You push this information far and wide. Because, Jacinda, like I said, the human tsunami is coming. And it's on its way. And it's not going to be stopped this time, no matter what rhetoric you want to use. And remember, we also talk about this virus. You still haven't even proven this pandemic exists. Shane's got all the data. He's even put all the Official Information Act requests in as well, seeking, because they talk about genome sequencing now. Well, that's just opened up a whole can of worms. Show us the genome sequencing, and I bet you that's faulty and fraudulent as well. Share far and wide, people. CounterspinMedia.com, info@CounterspinMedia if you want to get hold of Shane or get messages through to him, and we'll pass those on. And in the meantime... Unite and come back. Push back. We're on our way. Catch you next time.